Leave him be. Get aboard. Start her up. Christy and Laurie, go with him. Doc, you too. Me and JB will watch him here.
How about their blasters, Ryan? Better to take them with us?
Christy pointed with the toe of her boot to the pile of pistols and shotguns by the fire, where Jack had left them.
Leave them. Once we're on the way and the doors are closed, it'll take more than those flea flickers to harm us. Get moving.
The albino boy led the way, followed by the girls and Doc Tanner. Ryan watched Renz and the others. Behind him, he could hear the wag engine as it kicked into life. Jack clashed the gears, making the heavy vehicle lurch forward. It bumped into the stump of a tree. Both Ryan and JB glanced around to see what was happening. It was all the old man Meade needed to make his move. He had a knife tied to the inside of his left forearm, and he pulled it out, launching himself at JB. Renz, reflexes honed to Deathland sharp, dove for the scattergun with a sawed-off stock and barrel. His partner Jorg reached for a blade he wore hidden under his belt. Against JB and Ryan Cotter, it had about as much chance of success as trying to beat a prairie rattler for speed.
Hit him!
Ryan shot the bearded old man. The burst of lead kicked him into a moaning heap, and he rolled into the dying fire. Blood poured from the triple wound in the center of his chest, hissing onto the flames. JB dodged sideways, firing the mini-Uzi one-handed, spraying Jorg and the hapless, dim-witted other man in the process. 32 rounds of 9mm ammo ripped out at a muzzle velocity of just over 1,100 feet per second. Amazingly, amid the carnage, Ren stood untouched. He had reached the pile of blasters, but Ryan's G-12 was tracking in his direction.
Feeling lucky, Stoop?
Ryan's voice was loud in the sudden quiet. To the side of the clearing, the wag had stopped, stalling, engine ticking into silence. Christy led the others out of the main door, guns ready. But it was over.
Don't shoot me, you bastard! You already killed everyone else!
It's okay. All right, JB?
Yeah, three less jolt dealers to worry about.
Ryan shook his head dismissively. The pushers had been stupid enough to strike out against armed men, just holding blades. He didn't feel any sympathy for them. That's the way it always was in the Deathlands. Ren stood and watched, face blank with shock. His associates had been iced in the blink of an eye, and it still hadn't really registered. And now his wag was going to disappear forever. A great flow of tears suddenly began to course down Renz's filthy cheeks.
Take me with you. We got nothing now.
Back in the wag, everyone. Let's move out.
Fuck you!
Gouts of blue-gray smoke hung in the air, pierced by shafts of silver moonlight. Ryan gestured to JB to join the others, backing away slowly himself and keeping the blaster trained on the solitary man.
Can't make it on my own!
Ren stooped and picked up the sawed-off shotgun, lifting it to his face. Ryan hesitated, considering chilling the man. But bullets were scarce. He stepped backward until he was in the open doorway of the wag, never taking his eyes off the solitary figure. Renz was holding the scattergun, staring down at the twin barrels, as though he couldn't quite understand what they were.
Get in, Ryan. I got him covered.
Bastards!
Ryan began to close the sliding door. The clouds had drifted away from the moon, and the clearing was as brightly lit as a stage, Renz at its center. The gun was close to his open mouth, and his eyes were fixed on the door of the wag. Even as the door slammed shut, the sec-locks clicking into place, Ryan saw the top of the man's head disintegrate in a great spray that looked as black as beads of jet in the moonlight.
Did he?
Let's go, Jack. And dump all this jolt shit out. He won't be needing it anymore.
The vehicle began to grind its way westward. The wag was large enough to carry all six comfortably, and each had a narrow bunk. The self-heats in the kitchen area of the wag lacked labels, which made meals an interesting lottery. Near the back, in its own partitioned closet, was a chem toilet. Generally, the vehicle was scruffy and stank of old sweat, but during the first morning's driving, they bowled along with the blaster ports and roof vents open, all working together to sweep and clean the interior. The half-breed truck seemed in good mechanical condition. They stopped about 10 in the morning because the arrow in the temperature gauge was showing signs of veering into the red. But when Jack checked under the hood, he found the reading was false. One of the pistons was worn, and the exhaust roared more loudly than it should have.
Gonna be heavy on gas. Good job's cans in the back.
It was late in the afternoon when they reached the vast flowing expanse of the Delaware River, looking to cross it near the ruined Ville of Stockton. The dash of the WAG held some fragile old maps, creased and crumpled, which were held together with brown bits of tape and frayed string. The parts of the maps that would have shown the trails to Front Royal were missing, ragged edges taking them tantalizingly close to their proposed destination. Ryan pored over them at a small table near the open port, the others peering over his shoulder.
North along the Delaware, toward Easton, around Allentown and on to... Can't read that name. Doc, can you make it out?
My eyes are not, frankly, as sharp as they once were, my dear Ryan. But I believe it must be the town of Harrisburg, and from thence to Gettysburg. By the three Kennedys and the one Lincoln, but there is a name to stir the cockles of memory. That we should be going there after...
He turned away quickly and went to sit down on his bunk, where Laurie ran to comfort him.
And Frederick, I recall that. The bill's close to there.
We've got to cross the river first. Looks wide from that map.
A lot of toll bridges built in the sheds. Trade or Jack?
Jack climbed back into the driver's seat.
Yeah. What are we gonna do? No Jack. What trade?
Ryan held up the Heckler and Coke.
I figure this is all the trade I need.
At least we don't have ice to cross the Delaware like... somebody rather did, but I just remember who.
The highways weren't in bad condition. The surface was cracked and deteriorated, but most of the way it was drivable. Every so often, the road disappeared under an earth slip or was washed out of the world by a swollen river. Occasionally, they'd pass by the tumbled ruins of a small hamlet. Most buildings were totally destroyed, though the central stone chimneys remained standing, fingers pointing upward like graveyard memorials. Now and again, they'd come across one or two intact buildings, scorched clapboard rotting away. A doctor's shingle would still be legible, or a rectangular crimson soft drink machine would squat outside the tumbled relic of a general store. Grass and weeds had taken over most of the land, sometimes bursting through the tarmac of the highway. JB took over at the steering wheel from Jack as the day wore on. They stopped to refill the tank from one of the cans, standing in the soft afternoon heat under an azure sky. They saw more birds, dipping and swooping over a mud hollow, feasting on the lazy clouds of tiny insects. A little way off to the right, they could see the remains of a gas station. The building itself had completely vanished under tangling vines, but the metal and glass pumps remained, white and maroon paint peeling off in patches.
Look!
Christy pointed farther down the blacktop, where a single human figure stood shimmering in the heat. JB's hand dropped automatically to the butt of the mini-Uzi.
Trouble?
Ryan shaded his eye with his hand.
Road's wide there. No brush close to it. Can't be an ambush. Not one man alone.
As a precaution, they closed some of the blaster ports, keeping careful watch through the others, and Ryan slid the roof vent across and bolted it. Because of the menace of stickies, it wasn't a good idea to give them any way to get at you. Ryan sat up front, riding shotgun with Jack. JB had left the driver's seat and taken up a position by the rear obslit.
Take it slow, Jack. Get ready to push the pedal through the metal.
The young albino boy looked up at him, shaking his head.
Want to tell me how to wipe my ass too, Granddad Ryan?
Yeah, that's the trouble with kids now. Too much gall and not enough sand. Let's go, Jack.
The WAG lurched forward as the teenager crashed it into gear, making everything in the sweating box of the main compartment rattle and fall.
Is he moving?
No, still where he was. Can't see any danger. Nobody else is there.
Could be a trap.
Could be. One man isn't about to take an armed WAG.
Ryan stared through the slit in the wired and armored glass of the windshield. As they moved steadily along the track, he was able to see the motionless stranger a little better. It was a male, tall in height, tending towards skinny. He was wearing a light gray coat that hung below his knees, the breeze tugging at its hem. He wore what looked to be a rumpled white t-shirt and blue jeans, the latter tucked into brown cowboy boots. His brownish hair was long and fluttering in the wind. His skull was long and narrow.
Slow it down. Keep your eyes double wide.
He kept the automatic rifle trained on the man as the WAG eased to a crawl. The face of the stranger was turned up, curious, the eyes locking on Ryan's eye. His expression didn't alter, but when they approached at the closest distance to each other, the stranger cocked his head in a quick nod, which Ryan returned. He then spotted the two large wooden-handled blasters that were jammed into homemade holsters on either side of the man's white belt. Ryan had never seen the likes of those pistols in his life. Lori was the only one who spoke, staring through her op slit at the stranger.
He got a face like a sheep-killing dog. Tall, dark, and ugly.
As they finally passed by, the stranger seemed to mouth a word to Ryan. But if any sound exited those lips, it was distorted by the wag's loud engines. It looked to Ryan as if the man had said, ah, or perhaps, ka. JB watched through the back of the wag, calling to Ryan.
The crazy still isn't moving. Just stands there, looking at our dust.
And then the man was gone, disappearing into the background as quickly as he had materialized. Perhaps he had never been there in the first place, although that couldn't be right, as the others had seen him as well. Nevertheless, in the back of Ryan's mind, he just couldn't seem to get the word gunslinger out of his mind, for that was truly what that stranger was, just like him. They kept moving and reached the river near evening, as the sun was sinking behind the rolling hills that stretched as far west as the eye could see. After the chance encounter with the mysterious man, Ryan had ordered them to keep the obsolets half shut and make sure the roof vent remained bolted. There had been discontented muttering about the heat, mainly from Doc Tanner, but Ryan had been concerned that the low bushes seemed to be getting closer to the edge of the highway, making a sneak attack that much easier to mount. The wag rolled over the top of a low rise, and Jack jammed on the brakes, bringing the vehicle to a shuddering halt.
Oh, I see it. Best get ready, friends. Looks like we might have some trouble here.
There was a battered pair of old Zeiss binoculars hanging from a hook at the side of the front passenger seat, and Ryan took them down. The focusing screw was stiff, the lenses not properly balanced, but he got enough visual information through one eyepiece to make out that the bridge across the Delaware was well guarded. At least a half dozen figures were standing near it, looking up at the wag, which was poised on the crest of the hill. They were all carrying blasters, which looked to be long-barreled single-action pieces.
They've seen us. Shouldn't worry us more than a mosquito bite. We'll play it this way.
Josiah Schubert held up his hand, the thumb and seven fingers spread in a warning to the lumbering sequag to slow down. The blaster ports were all closed, and the driver was hidden by the setting sun, glaring off the reinforced glass.
Whoa! Slow down, friends!
Jack went carefully through the gears, foot holding the brake. His other foot hovered over the gas pedal, waiting for the order from Ryan Cotter to move out. Ryan had his visor down on the passenger side. JB was covering the rear. Christy and Lori were on the right of the wag, Doc on the left. All waited, crouched, behind the obsolets.
Back early, Renz. Rach happy with her stuff?
The wag was inching forward, Jack struggling to keep the powerful engine from stalling on him. As well as the leader of the group, there were six men, mostly on the driver's side. One was by Ryan's side window, picking his nose and carefully